Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge our spiritual growth. Today we are moving into Philippians chapter 2, where Paul shares Christian principles in this letter from prison.
As you bring those thoughts captive, Lord, I'm afraid, but you are the author of freedom from fear. Lord, I am anxious, but you say you will take all of my anxieties if I'll cast my care upon you. And as you quote that scripture, the brain knows that I am demanding peace, tranquility, resting in Him, seeing Him sufficient. Your peripheral is sending messages to your central nervous system, and they are then giving your brain input.
This is Sharon Hoskins. Please join Janie Ratzliff and I in this challenging conversation. We're looking at the principles that Paul shared in this letter to the Philippians. And he's already shared a prayer in chapter 1. And then when we move into chapter 2, he goes into some principles of Christian living.
Well, Sharon, chapter 2 really is tied with chapter 1, and the Lord pointed out to me just this morning when I was reading back through chapter 2 that part of the reason that he could talk about the consolation and the comfort of love and the fellowship of the Spirit and the affection and the mercy is because these people really were grounded. And he had established them to where they did understand the basic concepts of what Paul was wanting to teach. But as we went through chapter 1, we noticed that there was a prayer, and that prayer indicated that there might be some things that needed to have an increase. And then in chapter 2, he does give some exhorting to let you know that not everything was peachy creamy at the church at Philippi. And so the point that was really made plain to me this morning is that Philippians 2 can be understood by someone who really has been grounded in the basic doctrines. But what is the consequences for being able to understand this if you're not grounded in your worth in Jesus Christ?
Oh, that's a good point. We've talked a little bit about that in the past, but I really think it's something hard to grasp, Janie, that we start looking at ourselves, our failures, the way we're treated in society.
Or the circumstances.
Or the circumstances that are around us. And it is one of the most difficult things to get past ourselves.
Well, one of the questions I'd like to ask Job when we see him face to face, even though he stood firm in the principles that he knew, I wonder as he sat out in that dump heap scraping his skin, if he really sensed his worth in Jehovah God. He did not have all the history that we now can look back upon. And so I can see that even a grounded saint, when put under particular physical affliction, can sometimes wonder, how does this pertain to me? So let's do chapter 2 today, not only with the idea that flesh may be wanting to get out and play and rule and reign, but that there may be some people who are not able to overcome because they know that they're saved, but they really don't understand their worth in Jesus Christ. And then the comfort of love really may not have that much meaning if you're struggling with the issues because they're more dominant than the very truth of the scriptures.
Right. Okay.
So this letter evidently was needed for Paul to address certain matters, and not everything was right within the church. He was having to declare certain things that he wanted them to do so that his joy could have a priority among the believers at Philippi, that they would learn to be like-minded and have the same agape love, taking one accord and one mind. And that really sounds like the gateway to unity and harmony. But I want to interject something that has happened to us recently. Many, many times we believe we are doing the right thing for another brother or sister, but we may not be following the mandates of being of one accord and one mind. In other words, I may be saying something to you, having not gone through cancer, that might really be a struggle for you. But in my well-meaning ignorance, I could be putting more on your plate to have to think and process through the questions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're going to get tired of 1,700 people, I think you know that many, as saying, how are you?
Right.
And we don't we're sincere.
Right.
But we can be sincerely insensitive if it's a battle that we haven't walked, which is really one reason why we need to walk through these valleys and yeah. why we need to have these various trials that we're supposed to count it all joy. Because the Lord says He will comfort in those, mm-hmm. but it's really not for us. It's for us to pass it on.
Right. Well, wasn't that what Job's friends had come to do, was encourage him?
It's to send him in a down spiraling depression to where he yeah. had to defend himself against his friends.
Yeah.
And then they got into serious trouble, which should be a warning.
Yeah.
And Job had to pray for their deliverance to get his own.
Yeah. And I think that we've all been in those situations. I know I have walked away from conversations and think, oh, my goodness, what in the world did I say? And why did I say that? In complete embarrassment.
Well, but, part of the time, you were probably trying to come up with an answer that
well,
you
just
thought
trying
they
to
wanted
be
to hear.
Yes, and trying to be encouraging. Yes, of course.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So I just think that we've all been there, and we've all had those situations where we've tried to be encouraging and then realized later that we weren't encouraging at all.
Mm, so. Right. So let's go on down to then starting in at chapter 2, verse 1. And he says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, and those ifs in that verse are from the Greek meaning since. It's not the if there's an option to go one way or another. It's the finality, the assurity mm-hmm. that since there is comfort and hope, and you know, then dwell on these things. So in consolation, the comfort or the consolation, it's got various meanings, Sharon. It can mean solace. It can mean encouragement. It can mean supplication, admonition. And for someone who has the gift of encouragement, it will be fairly easy for them to know how to function in showing forth the consolation of Christ. But that doesn't deliver anyone who maybe doesn't have that spiritual gift to say, I'm not responsible in that area. Several things we could do is probably to do maybe more in text and not so much verbalization. It takes a lot of energy for someone with an illness, whether it's cancer or other type of illnesses. Fibromyalgia. People tell me it's very hard to just keep visiting when there are things sparking in every part of their body that
right.
their mind just gets confused. So maybe many times just the old-fashioned letter writing that's obsolete
yeah.
now. And then texting and not expecting a response and leaving it up to the sender to say no need to respond, just wanted to confirm and let it be something of encouragement. That's just practical advice, but that's being sensitive to the person who's struggling that we don't know just how they're struggling.
Right.
All
yeah,
right?
And I think that is very good. I've noticed that it's easier to send just a one sentence response and not have to carry on a 15-minute conversation.
Yeah.
So.
Or write a booklet on how you feel.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful there. And then the comfort of love. And I mean, what more can we say? True love from the Father who is love will really take care of the anger, the anxiety, and the insecurities, all negative emotions and beliefs, and will transform us and take us from being in a helpless panic into a life of peace, rest and tranquility. And you said that that's what you, I think it was last week that you mentioned that you had to face fear
uh-huh.
of chemo.
Yes.
You didn't fear the cancer, but you feared the method of recovery.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And so I can understand that because there are so many unknowns uh-huh. that can grab
yeah.
you.
There's a lot of side effects, scary side effects that I don't want to face, but with chemo right around the corner, it's something that I'm facing, like you said last week, with my armor on. and trusting the Lord for each day, each step of the way.
And we're going to share with our audience, not because it's a show about Sharon and Janie, but it's a show about life that's going to be played out in real time. And we know that there are many others listening that are facing the same thing. I had one particular church mention that they had 5 to 6 ladies that were all going through your type of cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult for them to even share with one another because they didn't want to look helpless. They didn't want to be weak. It was hard to say what you might say to someone, lest that get like the whisper chain. And by the time it came back to you, it was something totally different.
And I think some of that is just processing it yourself. I mean, people want to know how you're doing or how you're feeling, and there's no words. So that's a hard question sometimes to process for a long time. I mean, it took me a long time to process how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And the feelings were like waves, because you're fighting emotions that are trying to take you into fear, into doubt, into despair. And so I was fighting all of those emotions and not wanting to express those emotions because they weren't taking root because I was fighting. And so I didn't want to say, oh, well, I'm in despair and have people worry about me, because that was something that I was fighting. So answering questions like, you know, how are you feeling or how are you doing? I know there's not really any other way to ask, but those questions are really hard to answer. Because the emotions that you're dealing with.
As you bring those thoughts captive, Lord, I'm afraid, but you are the author of freedom from fear. Lord, I am anxious, but you say you will take all of my anxieties if I'll cast my care upon you.
Right.
And as you quote that scripture, the brain knows that I am demanding peace, tranquility, mm-hmm. resting in Him, seeing Him sufficient. And your right. peripheral nervous system is sending messages to your central nervous system, and they are then giving your brain the input that it has to make decisions. When I went through a severe illness, I used to ask the Lord, please let joy cover all my receptor sites on my cells. Because if joy was covering the receptor sites on my cells, the other stuff couldn't get in. So that's a little bit of just practicality of what's truly going on. But that way we can then really be able to experience the comfort of love. And then, Sharon, we've already touched upon the fellowship of the Spirit. And I know there's times that you really just don't feel like fellowshipping.
Right.
And yet, in principle, we're told not to live in isolation. Mm-hmm. And yet, there can be a time when you must be apart for just staying together.
Yeah.
And other saints need to give you that freedom without feeling as though they're being rejected. And sometimes that can very happen. Well, why isn't she coming around? Well, we miss her. Well, we need to see her. We want her to be a part of us. When in essence, prayer holds us together.
Right.
Just because we don't
Absolutely.
See your face does not mean that we're not in oneness and in fellowshipping. Part of fellowshipping is listening. Mm-hmm. All right? And sometimes that's hard for us.
Oh, yeah.
And we've always said, if you're talking, you're not
listening.
Listening. So would you like to say something, Sharon? Would you like to get a word in edgewise?
Well, I am doing a lot of listening, Janie, because really it's all truth. It becomes complicated to formulate words and speak in fellowship conversations when you don't always have the right answers or the right words to speak. And so it becomes difficult to fellowship in times of pain and heartache and suffering, whatever you know, whether that's a disease or it's a loss of some sort, how are you doing is such a hard question to answer. And so formulating the right words and coming up with the right things to say becomes very, very difficult and exhausting.
Well, maybe we need to do a little Spanish lesson today, and you can just say te amo, and then no lo sé. Yeah. To you I love, but I don't know.
And that goes back to verse 2. It talks about fulfilling the joy. And so joy is a choice that we've talked about in the past. It's a choice. And through it all, I choose joy. I'm not depressed or suffering. I have bouts. I have fights with those emotions. But through it all, there is joy. Because I know I can trust God in every situation, even with chemo now.
So. Well, I believe that He's got us on a journey, not just for you and I to grow, but for so many that have questions that are not getting answered. Yeah. And that hopefully two people going through it in real time,
yes,
not talking about a past experience, but going through it in real time will be something that people can grasp onto. So as we move on, he talks about letting this mind of Christ be in you. And this is in verses 5 through 8 and 9. And this is certainly not the full mind of Christ, Sharon, but this is the mind of Christ that Paul needed to express to the people at Philippi. This is what they needed so that they could work out their own salvation without fear and trembling, so that they could do all things without complaining and disputing, and that they could become blameless and harmless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So the mind of Christ here is simply what we've talked about so many times, that the Lord, being in the form of God, considered it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in likeness of men. And then he humbled himself and he became obedient to the death of the cross. Now, I know this is probably a very poor explanation, but Sharon, let's suppose if you and I, as human beings and adult creatures, then had to come and put on the body of an ant, and we had to leave our human home comfort. But can you just somehow comprehend what it would be if life had to come for a certain period of time and you had to function as an ant to make your calling known? Now, I know that's stretching it,
yeah,
but I tried to figure out what would be so overwhelming. I heard this morning that 23% of people who claim to be born again Christians still believe in reincarnation.
Really?
Yeah. And yet the scripture says it's appointed that a man wants to die. Mm-hmm. And yet if they don't know their grounding, if they don't know their scriptures, if they've been taught a certain mumble-jumbled way, like Paul said, not the teaching of what he teaches,
right,
then they can still believe that they can die and come back in some other form. And so that would be not knowing how to take on the mind of Christ.
Well, and the mind of Christ is a lot like the armor of God.
Yes.
It's not so much as going to our closet and getting out God's mind and putting it on. It's about renewing our mind in the scriptures and knowing who God is and what he says so that we recognize him in our thoughts. We recognize him in our situations, that we know his voice when it speaks.
Well, and you just said earlier, you said, Janie, despite everything I'm going through, there is joy. Mm-hmm. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit, as you have trusted, that joy can be a part, a living, practical part of what you're going to be walking.
Right.
And so that's so important that we do understand the mind of Christ. Otherwise, we'll never be able to be of one mind and one heart.
Absolutely.
So let's talk just a little bit about when the Lord lived here. What was his mindset? What did he focus on? And I think there's some principles that we can gain here. He was always in touch with his father and in agreement with him on everything. They shared perfect harmony and unity, and they shared the same disposition. I'm just going to give you 2 and 3 because we'll be limited. I think you're giving me that high sign again, yep. Sharon. Well, second of all, he did nothing of his own will, and he was always in submission to his father and gave the perfect example of humility. He lived in balance with his mind and his emotions in quiet experience in the spirit. And that's exactly what you've been describing today. You have your battles, but you bring them back around to where you can live with joy in quietness.
I will say that when I prayed about the chemo, I remember saying, God, this is like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he's praying, you know, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And, you know, not comparing the cross and what Jesus went through with my cancer at all, but just that whole idea of desperately
Is there any other way?
And then just having to surrender and say, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do.
Did you feel just totally alone and abandoned when you had your battle of Gethsemane and coming to that?
You mean abandoned by God?
Well, or just abandoned, period. By us, by those that love you and care for you. Was it just something you felt like you had to walk alone?
No. I just felt that it was enlightening to come to realize that I had spent a month fearing. I was just thinking, God, he was going to do something different. He was going to provide a way that wasn't so detrimental. And when that didn't happen and the doors kept opening toward chemo and nothing else, I just had to come to realize that this is what God is asking me to do. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that he had to go to the cross. Mm-hmm. He had told his disciples that. I was disillusioned about the cure for my cancer. And so just coming to realize that God was going to be there through that tough time of chemo, just as he was there for Jesus through that tough time of going to the cross. I mean, wanting God's will in my life over the comforts of
a lesser way,
easier cure.
Well, so. And then Sharon, last, do you not believe that what you've been called to carry right now is just a discipline for you? Or do you believe that, as the Father says, that he came to help others, and that what you're going through is a forerunner that many others may be able to grasp a hold? And so this is not for you and you alone.
Well, I think there's been a lot of forerunners before me that have bore this burden of going through chemo and staying the course and having the faith and being strengthened by the Lord. But this is a road he's asked me to walk. And so although it is difficult and it will be heavy, it will all be worth it on the other side. If I will do as some of the women who have been before me and trust the Lord with each day, with each step, and learn those lessons that he's going to take me through to have on the other side of this.
So can you tell that you truly within do have that peace that passes all understanding, even though there may be glimpses of that nervous system wanting to defraud?
Oh, yes, I believe with all my heart that whatever happens from this day forward is for my good and his glory.
And that's for all of eternity.
Yeah. Well, Janie, that's all the time we have for today.
I know. And you know what? We're not going to...
I'm sorry we talked about me so much.
No, I think it was an appropriate lesson.
Oh, you want to close us in prayer?
Father, we thank you for each lesson that we're able to share, because as we go through the principles that you've given us, it not only builds us up, but hopefully it will build up the listeners. Lord, you are sufficient, and I know you will be faithful, and you have promised kindness each day. We love you, we trust you, we praise you. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, you can go to sharonhearts.org. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. and God bless.